Does moral law point to God?
A billboard evangelism phone dialogue. Did you ever wonder what a phone team member encounters when he answers a phone call from a billboard caller? What kind of questions do people ask? What you are about to hear is an actual call conversation between a CAM phone team member and a billboard caller who dialed the toll-free number posted on every gospel billboard. Minor editing was done to remove all personal caller information and enhance the flow of the conversation for the listener. Keep in mind that this is only one call and not a complete representation of the team member's interaction with callers. You will probably think of other ways the team member could have responded, and in reality, he probably did too. Often after hanging up with a caller, a team member will think of things he wished he would have said. But we thank God and give Him the glory for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit in giving the right words and scripture verses to our phone team day after day as they minister to many callers. They really need your prayers.
Good evening, Gospel Billboards. This is Philip. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking.
So, I had a couple questions. I was driving around and I saw your billboard, and I'm an atheist, and
okay.
I think it's pretty bold for a group like you guys to put up a billboard like that. And you know,
okay.
I don't believe particularly everything happens for a reason, but I believe there's a meaning behind everything. And it's more like I'm going through some hard times right now, and I find meaning in small things along the way that I experience in my day-to-day life. And I found that, you know, people I've met who believe in religion, that is what keeps them going and what makes them happy from day to day. And I just wanted to get the input of someone who is religious on, like, that statement.
Okay, sure. From a standpoint of Christianity, the greatest joy that we have is found in relationship. And the interaction of human beings with each other, but even more importantly with God and with Jesus Christ as God. And so for us, yes, it is the small things, but it's centered around relationship. And the experiences of life are shape the situations that we find ourselves in, and it is through those situations that our relationships either grow or become more difficult. And how we respond to those relationships is the determining factor about whether they will grow or whether they will not grow. And so I guess at the very core of it, I would say that for the Christian, it is relationship in which he finds the greatest joy.
Yeah, I agree with that. Even though I don't identify with Christianity, I agree with that. The part that confuses me is, you know, because I don't believe in a higher power, from my point of view, I don't understand how some people could believe in a higher power.
What would you say is the framework of your view, or how you come to that, to the conclusion, or the place where you are personally?
Well, I've been through a lot of bad experiences in my life, and when I was younger, sometimes, you know, I didn't grow up Christian. I grew up with a different religion, and I would try to pray, and I found that never. There was no, that had never had an effect for me. And so I started relying on myself. And I said, you know, if I want to get out of this situation, praying won't help me. I have to help me. I have to believe in myself. And that's what gets me through everything. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to hate. I'm just really curious about, you know, how someone because it makes sense. That's why it makes sense that someone can say, you know, this is happening to me, but I know Jesus always has my side. That makes sense, but not for me personally. But I can understand why some people believe it. And
sure.
My curiosity is, you know, how would you or someone else come to believe that?
Sure. Well, there's a variety to me of evidences that humanity is not the greatest intelligence. And some of that is in relation to the basic human understanding of morality, of good and evil.
Okay.
You see, as a general rule, humans agree on good and evil, on what is good and what is evil, in a general way.
Yes.
And yet, human beings have been known to do incredibly evil things.
Yes. Yes, they have.
And so why? What is the determining factor for that moral basis?
Okay.
I guess that is the foundation of if we think about the human experience and what is good and what is evil, how do we determine if there is no law, if there is no higher lawgiver, then there is no real surety of what is good and what is evil. Because if man is the determiner, and what one man determines to be evil, another man determines to be okay, then there is no framework by which to say that one is right and one is wrong about that. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
And so, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I personally have theories for other explanations, but I've never heard that one before, and it's very interesting.
To me, the evidence or the reality of good and evil, or maybe I should say the evidence of good and evil, point towards a higher lawgiver. And so then the question is, who is that lawgiver?
Yeah.
And is there a moral code? Is there a right and wrong that will give us a true human experience that frees us from evil? In other words, is there a law that is so good in its concepts and its teachings that it will revolutionize society in a way that will overcome evil?
So from everything you're telling me, it seems that through spreading your message, you're just trying to make the world a better place.
Yes, that's part of it. In my understanding of Jesus Christ, in my knowledge of Jesus Christ, in my coming to know Jesus Christ as a believer in Him, I've embraced His moral law and His teaching and Him as God, and it has revolutionized my life, not simply the believing part, but rather the living out of His moral teaching. And when I took a step back from what I had learned and grown up, the concepts that I had grown up with, when I took a step back from those and looked at Jesus' teachings and said, what is really true? Is this really true? I came to embrace those teachings as something that were greater than any other law that I'd ever understood. And as I look at his teachings, especially his teachings in the Gospels, where he's speaking directly, there's teaching there that revolutionizes what we understand as human beings, life that is different. And it has to do with, for instance, loving your enemies. That's not human.
Yeah.
To love your enemies. But what happens when that is actually lived out? And I was very blessed with the opportunity to look back in history and be able to see or be able to read about individuals who lived that out and what resulted from that. And I'll just give you an illustration. There was a group of people during the 1500s who were heavily persecuted. They were called the Anabaptists. And the reason why they were persecuted was because they believed that they should live out the teachings of Jesus on an individual level and on a practical level. So when they saw love your enemies, they believed that that was something that they were supposed to do. And they also, when they saw that Jesus and not Jesus so much as Jesus' followers in the New Testament had baptized people upon their confession of Jesus Christ as Lord, they began to baptize people who were adults. Previous to that, the church, the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Church had baptized babies. And they said, you know, we're going to just baptize them into the church, and so they're going to be part of the church. And these people said, Christianity, that's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about a person personally accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and living out what he teaches. And so anyway, this was offensive to the Protestant and Catholic churches both, and also to the governments of the day, and they began to persecute this group of people very heavily. They would put them in prison. They would even kill them using torture and whatever to try to get them to give up their faith. And so there was this man named Dirk Willems who was at a market, and he saw some of the, well, they called him the thief catcher in those days. It was a man that could run really fast, and he was hired by the law to chase down and catch thieves. And he saw him there, and he was with the officer, one of the officers of the law, and they recognized him as an Anabaptist, and they said, we're going to catch that man. And so he was running for his life, okay? And this was wintertime, and he came to a stream, and he knew that the ice was thin, and he wasn't sure he was going to be able to make it across. But he knew that if he didn't, he was probably going to end up being tortured and killed. And so he just ran across the ice, like not stopping, not hesitating. He just kept running and ran right across the ice. And he made it to the other side. The thief catcher started across the ice, and it cracked, and he hesitated. And when he hesitated, it was too much weight at one spot, and it broke through the ice. And the water was fairly deep at that point, too deep for him to get out. And it was icy cold. And this man, Dirk Willems, remembered the teachings of Jesus about loving your enemies. And he turned around and went back and pulled that man out of the ice, the man who was chasing him to kill him. Well, in the meantime, the the other, you know, the law showed up and they took him prisoner. They took this Dirk Willems prisoner and they killed him. But that man who was pulled out of the ice recognized the love of Christ, the same love that Jesus had when he died on the cross, demonstrated when he died on the cross for the sins of mankind. And he himself became a Christian. And I tell you that story just simply to say that I believe personally the teachings of Jesus Christ are divine teachings. They're teachings that go above and beyond even our understanding as humans of what love truly means and what we as humans can experience without the input of God. And so I guess I would say that a strong part of what led me to embrace Jesus Christ was his teachings, but also the opportunity that I had to observe people actually living those teachings out, which I feel very blessed to have been able to do that. And then too, there's the other evidences of the, and so that's why to me, that higher lawgiver is Jesus Christ. And so I don't know if that answers your questions at all or not.
It does. It does. That was really interesting. That was really interesting. I think that answers all of my questions. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for calling in. And pick up a Bible and read those teachings of Jesus. I'm not telling you need to be what I am. Just read those teachings and absorb what they are.
I think I will. And even though I don't really want to become Christian or anything like that, I think from a learning perspective, it would be very interesting.
Sure.
Yeah, it would.
I thank you for calling in, and I want to offer you that you can call back in anytime. We have a website called gospelbillboards.org that you can feel free to look up and gather any information off of that you want to. Just to let you know that this is an open line for you to call in and ask questions. If you read the teachings of Jesus and you say, hey, I'd like to ask these guys about this, call in, please. And we'll be happy to answer your questions if we can.
Okay. Got it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling
Bye.
In. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Bye.
Would you like to be involved in the Billboard Evangelism Program? Here are several ways. Please pray for our dedicated phone team who speaks with thousands of spiritually hungry Americans over the phone. Sign up to receive an urgent prayer alert on your phone and a weekly email containing several prayer requests concerning callers' spiritual needs. To listen to recorded prayer requests, call 330-800-9203 anytime. The door of opportunity to present Jesus and His Word on billboards is wide open. CAM has established excellent connections with our nation's largest billboard companies, enabling us to obtain significant discounts. $1 presents a gospel message over 1,000 times. If you wish to impact Americans with a gospel message, your help will be greatly appreciated. The Adopt a Billboard Sponsorship Program is a personalized way to sponsor a billboard. Call the CAM office and request an Adopt-a-Billboard sponsorship sheet to choose which billboard you would like to sponsor. If you would like to stay updated on the Billboard Evangelism Program and learn more about the effect these gospel billboards are having on America, sign up to receive Billboard Evangelism's free quarterly newsletter. To sign up for any of the prayer options in quarterly newsletter or to make a contribution, please call 330-893-2428 or visit our website at ChristianAidMinistries.org.